We live in a culture, an American culture, where instant gratification is really the American way. Give it to me and give it to me now is very common in our culture. And it's the root of many kinds of problems. We're going to talk this morning about Esau, who is mentioned in our scripture reading in Hebrews chapter 12. Esau suffered from this instant gratification. And we're going to learn how it was that he sold his birthright. And we're going to learn this morning how that we can overcome the sensual life. I'm using the word sensual this morning, not limited to sexual sin, although it does involve that. I'm talking this morning about the word sensual in the sense of our senses, our five senses. What we see, what we hear, what we taste, what we smell, what we touch. A lot of times people will make decisions in their life that are detrimental to them, that are bad for them, based upon the senses. And based upon what we're feeling and seeing and hearing in the here and now. And we've got to learn to overcome the sensual life. And in order to do that, we're going to look at Esau. In Hebrews chapter 12, the author of the book of Hebrews is in a portion of the book that is giving practical admonitions and applications to remain faithful to Christ. He has already covered the doctrinal section of the book where he's trying to show that Jesus is better than the angels, better than Moses, better than the old law, and so forth. Having covered that in chapter 10 and verse 19, to the end of the book, he gives practical admonitions for remaining faithful to Christ and not falling away. When he comes to chapter 12 and verse 14 through 17, he says that there are some things that Christians need to do and not do in order to be faithful to Christ. Number one, verse 14, he says that you need to be at peace with all men. Number two, you need to have sanctification in your life where you're set apart from sin. Number three, you need to not fall short of the grace of God. Number four, you need to make sure that there's no bitterness in you. Bitterness can destroy a lot of individuals and cause problems. Number five, you need to avoid fornication or sexual sin. And number six, he brings up Esau. Now, if the writer of the book of Hebrews brings up Esau and he says, you don't need to be like Esau, we need to go back and see what it was in the life of Esau that we don't need to be like. So that's what we're going to do today. So when an author in the New Testament brings up an Old Testament story and he says, don't be like this, go back and find out what that story is. And the way we're going to do that is, if you want to turn in your Bibles this morning to Genesis chapter 25, let's go back and look and see how that we can avoid being like Esau. And in just a moment, Lord willing, when we get to the close of our lesson, we will come back to Hebrews 12 and discuss a few things there. Esau would be a great advertising agent in America today because Esau is all about get it and get it now. Instant gratification. This really is the root of much of the sensual life in our culture. Think about it. Instant sexual gratification. Instant material gratification. I can go out and buy it right now. Instant appetite gratification. Instant emotional gratification. That's the world that we live in. In fact, if I were a betting person, I would bet that some of the commercials this evening in the Super Bowl would focus on that very thing. One of the greatest advertising messages today is have it and have it now. Look for that tonight. You might notice that. There's bound to be one that is based upon that principle. Have it and have it right now. And that's the way Esau approached his life. And as a result, he's described as a profane or godless man. He had something that was very important to him. It's called a birthright. We don't typically do that in our society and in our world today. But in Bible times, particularly in the Old Testament Bible times, the firstborn received a birthright from the parents. There are a number of blessings that came with that birthright. I just want to mention two this morning. First of all, headship. The firstborn typically had a role of being someone who had more authority and a headship over the rest of the siblings. So they would give guidance and instruction and commands and leadership. A second benefit was the double portion of the family inheritance. And you can read about that in Deuteronomy 21, 15 through 17. These and other blessings accompanied the birthright. Esau was the firstborn. But he sold his birthright. And we're going to come back at the end of the lesson and talk about how that as a Christian, we don't need to sell our spiritual birthright. Because we're simply living in the moment and we've been overcome by the sensual life. We don't need to sell our birthright. Give it to me and give it to me now. I'm glad that you're here this morning. We appreciate the presence of everyone. I'm glad that we have visitors, and I hope that you'll come back as you have an opportunity. When you turn back in the sacred record to Genesis chapter 25, you're going to read the story of Esau selling his birthright in verses 27 through 34. Let's look this morning at six steps that he took to sell his birthright. And by looking at those same six steps, we can learn how to overcome the sensual life. We can overcome this matter of making grave and serious decisions based upon just the senses, what I feel and what I see and what I hear and what I'm touching. We can overcome those things and make better decisions in life, godly decisions, what God would have for me, not just what my senses are telling me. When you look at Genesis chapter 25, then in verse 27, let's read the account and we'll come back through and look at how that we can overcome the sensual life. And the boys grew. Esau and Jacob grew. And Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field, and Jacob was a quiet man dwelling in tents. Now Isaac, the father, loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, and Rebekah, the mother, loved Jacob. And Jacob boiled pottage. Some of the newer versions say stew. Jacob boiled pottage or stew, and Esau came in from the field and was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with the same red pottage, for I am faint." Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, "Sell me first thy birthright." And Esau said, "Behold, I am about to die, and what profit shall the birthright do to me?" And Jacob said, "Swear to me first." And he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage or stew of lentils, and he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. So Esau despised his birthright. As I'm reading about lentil stew, I'm actually getting hungry. And I will try to get you out of here as soon as possible so that you can go get some lunch. Now, if you read this account in Genesis chapter 25, you're thinking, okay, well, that's kind of an interesting story. The Hebrew writer says that Esau was godless by doing that. Look at that. He did something that was godless, that was profane. When we read the story in Genesis 25, we're thinking, okay, the guy was hungry and sold a birthright and no big deal, move on. But the Hebrew writer says he should not have done that. So there's something in this lesson that we need to pay attention to. And it is the things that are being said. Let's look at the conversation that is going back and forth between these two brothers. And it'll give us some insight as to how Esau sold his birthright and how that we can overcome that same problem today. Notice, if you will, starting with me back in verse 27, that Esau had been out, and when he came in, he was hungry. In verses 29 and 30, feed me, for I am faint. One version says weary, one version says famished, one version says exhausted, one version says starved. Have you ever been in that situation? Have you ever been really thirsty? Have you ever been really, really hungry? You've got that feeling in your stomach, and it's a part of the senses. It's something you're feeling in your stomach, right? Okay? I got to get something to eat or drink. Number one, we need to go by what we know, not by what we feel. You want to overcome the sensual life? You want to overcome making bad decisions in life based upon the senses? Number one, go by what you know in God's Word, not by what you're feeling at the moment. Think of how many times people make decisions in life based upon what they're feeling. He was feeling faint. He was feeling famished. And he's going to sell his birthright based upon what he's feeling in his stomach? You've been there before, where you're really hungry or really thirsty. But he acted impulsively. He had one thing on his mind, satisfy a feeling. He wasn't thinking it over. He wasn't thinking about the long term, and we'll talk about that later. It's what I can get right now. He's not thinking about the consequences. Brethren, the problem today with impulsive feelings is it's causing us to make the wrong decisions in life. We're to go by a fixed standard. We're to go by what we know in the Word of God, not by impulsive, subjective feelings. Do what feels good is a popular message today. Do you realize what impulsive feelings have done to many people and how it's messed up their lives? Impulsive feelings have caused an unwanted pregnancy. Impulsive feelings have caused an improper marriage. Impulsive feelings have led to great debt. When we are an impulsive buyer, when we are an impulsive this or an impulsive that, we're going on the moment. And we need to be going by what we know, and more importantly, what we know in the Word of God. Base your decisions, young people, especially, on the facts of Scripture, not the heat of the moment. We've got to learn to overcome this sensual life. Go by what we know. Go by an objective, fixed standard of the Word of God. Make decisions cautiously and carefully with sober minds and sober thinking. Aware of the consequences. Aware of what's going to happen. If I do this at the moment, what's going to happen? And parents, let's teach our children to not only make decisions, but to ask yourself, before you do something, think of those long-term consequences. Don't just act in the moment. So number one, Esau just acted in the moment based upon what he felt. And he ended up selling his birthright. And we'll do the same spiritually if we're not careful. We have the Word of God, brethren, each and every week here in this pulpit and in Bible classes and in our daily Bible reading. That's what we're going to base our decisions on. That's one reason why we read our Bible every day, is because it's giving us that information to make sound, godly decisions, not impulsive feeling decisions. So number one, always go by what we know in the Word of God and not by what we feel. Look with me at verse 31. Jacob said, "Sell me first thy birthright." In the Hebrew, that's the word today. We need to take the long view, not the short view. We don't need to be making decisions based upon right now. I'm in the heat of the moment, right now,
and I'm going to do something right now today, I need to slow it down. Back up the horse, we used to say. Slow it down here.
One version says, sell me this day thy birthright. One version says, sell me today your birthright. Esau was hungry today. He had to be satisfied today. You got to give it to me today. And that was his problem. Brethren, let's learn to take the long view. Not the short view, not what's going on in the heat of the moment, but think about what would God have for me? How is this going to affect me in the judgment day down the road? How is this going to affect me later? If I get into this sexual relationship in the heat of the moment, oh, I might have a child 9 months from now. You got to think about that. Or if I put something in my body that makes me feel good, I've got to think about, oh, it's going to tear up my liver. If I keep putting alcohol down there, it's going to tear up my liver. It's going to fry my brain cells if I keep putting drugs in my body. Well, wait a minute. I'm just thinking about the way it feels now. Okay, that's what the devil does, just the way you feel now. But you got to be thinking about down the road. We don't need to be short-sighted. So many people are short-sighted. They're just thinking about today's satisfaction. And really, this idea of short-sightedness is not a new philosophy. It goes back to Esau. It goes back to other Bible passages. Let us eat and drink today, for tomorrow we die, 1 Corinthians 15:32. That philosophy has been around a long time. Sometimes you'll hear somebody say, it doesn't get any better than this. Well, be careful about that. It could get a lot worse than this. Sometimes there is sexual activity outside of a godly marriage. But we don't think about the child that's going to come later in the future. Well, who's going to take care of the child? Well, I don't know. I'm not going to think about that. And then the teenager who does it, and they quit school because you got some teen mom. This happens all the time. Well, where's Mary? Where's Sally? She was a classmate of mine last year. Well, she had a child over the summer, and she's not in school anymore. Well, we don't think about that. Broken homes, et cetera, et cetera. Today, there's instant credit. Just load up your credit card. Don't worry about it. Just load it up. Okay. What about future burdens of debt and trying to pay all the bills? And then we got to work overtime. And then, hey, honey, can you work a few extra hours? Because we've loaded up the card so much that you're going to have to work some more. And then here we go. And then there's food. It's right in front of me. I'm just going to eat it. And I'm not going to worry about the future poor health that it might be causing me. I don't like to go to the doctor, which I am now, and hear your cholesterol's high. I don't like to hear that. I want to eat my pile of bacon. I really want to eat my pile of bacon. But I can't do that anymore. And so there's this thing that goes on, whether it's with food or spending, or it could be lashing out in anger or saying something without thinking of it. Think of the long, take the long view, not the short view. Make decisions based upon not just down the road, but eternity. How is this going to affect my eternity? And that's the better way to live. Paul says in Colossians 3 and verse 1, set your minds on things that are above. Jesus says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. They're basically teaching, take the long view. Add to your spiritual bank account when you're making decisions. Turn with me to verse 32. Esau said, behold, I'm about to die. This is a good one.
This is one of my favorite ones. Now, I'm not trying to downplay. I'm not trying to downplay at all his exhausted nature. Maybe you've been there before. But about to die, I don't know about that. It may have taken him a little bit longer, but he probably could have scrounged up something to eat before he actually died. We've got to be careful that we don't exaggerate. We need to think about our situation. And again, I'm not trying to belittle or downplay the gravity of it or the seriousness of it. No doubt he was very hungry and very faint. But we need to be careful that we don't exaggerate the situation. It reminds me of Lot's daughters in Genesis chapter 19. There's no men around, so Dad, I guess, really? No men around. Well, if you just be patient and wait a little bit, you could find someone to marry and so forth. There's no men around, so Dad, you're the next best thing, so they have a child with you. That happens. That happens. It's the age-old mental maneuver where we blow things out of proportion to justify what we want. Maybe you've heard something like, everyone is doing it. Well, no, not godly Christians. They're not doing it. I'll just die if so-and-so finds out. Really? You'll really actually die? No. I'll never be able to show my face again. Well, yeah, no, you can. You actually can. I'll never be able to find anyone. Yeah, you can. You will. With prayer and go to places where other young Christians are and so forth. You can find somebody. I just can't go on, you know, then fill in the blank. We make these statements that are extreme, exaggerated types of things in order to justify what we're about to do right here in the heat of the moment. We need to pray, brethren. We need to pray more. We need to study our Bible more. We need to meditate on the Word of God. Psalm 1, verse 2, the righteous man meditates on the Word of God day and night. Don't exaggerate. And don't fall for that trick. We're learning how to overcome the sensual, what I'm feeling right now, and make godly sound decisions and choices based upon the Word of God that are going to help us get all the way to heaven. Don't exaggerate. Look with me at verse 32. Esau said, "Behold, I am about to die, and what profit shall the birthright do to me?" That's a great question. The problem was, he asked himself the question. If you want to overcome the sensual life, and if you're in a situation where you've got questions, that's great, but seek the counsel of others before you answer your own question. Obviously, you're going to answer your own question in a way that allows you to do what you want to do. If you've got a question, ask another godly member of the church that question and see how they answer. Go to one of the elders. Go to some younger ladies. Go to one of the older ladies. But if you ask yourself a question and you answer your own question, obviously, you're going to give the answer that suits what you want. You ask somebody else, ask a neutral party, ask someone that's not in the heat of the moment, ask someone who's out here on the side, who's not in the heat of the moment, that looks at things objectively and clearly and rationally. You know what they're going to say? They're going to say, "Esau, you need to keep your birthright." That's what they're going to say. But what we do is we ask ourselves our own questions and we answer them in ways that are improper. We're going to look at some proverbs here in just a moment that say, go to others and ask your questions. I'm a thief breaking in the building. Should I break in the building? Yeah, I should break in the building. I mean, if you ask yourself your own question, you're going to give yourself a pass and you're going to end up doing what you want to do. You've already made up your mind. So sometimes we make up our mind or we don't ask God. If anybody, we ask ourselves or the world around us, and we're definitely going to get the wrong answer there. So we need to seek godly counsel from others, God first, and godly Christians. Proverbs 12:15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that is wise hearkens unto counsel. Yeah. And we need to understand that. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 22. Where there is no counsel, that is, getting good judgment from others, purposes are disappointed. But in the multitude of counselors, they are established. Proverbs 19:20, hear counsel and receive instruction that you may be wise in thy latter end. There you go. There are many devices in a man's heart, but the counsel of Jehovah, that shall stand. You see? Proverbs 20, verse 18. Every purpose is established by counsel, and by wise guidance make thou war. Well, that's not only true when we go to war with somebody, but even in just daily living. When we ignore God's counsel, when we ignore the Word of God and what godly Christians would say, we get into trouble. But notice he asked a question. The problem was he asked it of himself. You need to ask somebody else and see what they would say. Ask mom and dad. What would mom and dad say? What would the elders say? What would the preachers say? What would my spouse say? What would elderly brethren who are very faithful in their life, what would they say? And that'll help us to overcome this short-sighted, heat-of-the-moment type of living in life. Look at verse 33. Jacob said, swear to me first, and he swear unto him. Let me ask you this. Who are you listening to? Who do you listen to when you're trying to make decisions in life? Do what God commands, not by what people around you tell you to do. Swear to me. Okay, I'll swear to you. We need to listen to what God says, not what my brother's telling me to do. Or my friends, or family members, or neighbors. Esau swore to Jacob because Jacob told him to do so. We need to love, brethren, we need to love and know the truth. Proverbs 23:23, buy the truth and sell it not. We need to love God's truth and love God's word and ask ourselves, what does God want me to do? What is God telling me to do? Not what is my brother telling me to do. And all of these things in overcoming the sensual life are easily solved by turning to God and His Word. But notice that he just says, brother, what do you want me to do? Okay, I'll do it. And be very careful, young people, with your social media. That's feeding much of the problem. Young people are getting their counsel. Well, what are people saying on TikTok? And what are people saying on Instagram? And what are people saying on Facebook? And what are people saying on this platform and that platform? It's not all necessarily bad. I don't want to paint that picture, but much of it is not good at all. And we feed our minds with that kind of stuff, and we stop asking, what is God asking me to do? And we're saying, it's this insidious pressure that's being put on us in these social media areas, and it's so sneaky that I don't even realize that that's what's happening, but it's that pressure that's being put on me. You got to act a certain way, because I'm watching these videos, and I see that when that girl acts that way, boy, she gets a lot of likes and thumbs up and all of that, and followers. Maybe I ought to start acting like that. Do what God commands, not by what somebody around you is telling you to do.
know and love the truth of God's Word and put it above all other things. And then last of all, look at verse 34. Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage or stew of lentils, and he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way. So Esau despised his birthright. I said earlier about you've got to go to the book of Hebrews. You do have to add in this last part, that Moses, in writing this story again, he does say that Esau here, you don't have to go only to Hebrews, but here, Esau despised his birthright. Look at that. The text says that he ate and drank and rose up and went his way. I feel better now. Wait a minute. You just sold your birthright. Oh, I don't worry about that. I'm going on my way. I feel good now. I've got my belly full. I feel great. You need to learn, and I need to learn, to place personal privileges above personal satisfaction. He had a privilege of a birthright. That's a privileged status. That's a blessing that was granted even by law, Deuteronomy 21, by God. This is a very special privilege. You must always remember that over personal satisfaction. I've gotten something to eat and drink, and my belly's full, and now I can walk on my merry way. Always put spiritual privileges over personal satisfactions. If you stop and think about it, much of what goes on today is caving to immediate, instant satisfactions. And some of them are not necessarily bad. Listen, eating food is not wrong. It's not wrong to eat stew. It's not wrong to be hungry. That's not the point of the lesson. But it is wrong not to prioritize things. In fact, in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 16, in the original Greek text, meal or meat is emphatic. It's in the beginning of the statement that shows that for meat, Esau sold his birthright. He had the wrong priorities. It's drawing out a comparison. There's nothing wrong with eating. But the greater privilege is the birthright, not a little piece of food. And brethren, we've got to think about the privileges that we have of being a Christian. And so we're not going to sell out that great privilege just so on this moment I'm out on a date somewhere, mom and dad aren't around, and so I'm just going to satisfy a little satisfaction here. You're going to toss a privilege because of a satisfaction? And the same thing with food and spending money and other kinds of things. Esau walked away filled, but you also know that he walked away what? Without a birthright. Oh. So I actually am empty. My belly's full, yeah. But I don't have my birthright anymore. And so it's a problem of priorities. And we've got to learn to overcome bad trade-offs. You know, some things are good. Food is good. And it's good to eat when it's time to eat. But this birthright was even better. Some things are great. But some things are even greater. And so don't ever, ever place personal satisfaction over God's privileges that He gives to us as Christians. Turn back with me now to Hebrews chapter 12. I want to make a few comments and then we'll close this morning. These are six things that Esau did. And knowing that, if we can change those things in our lives, we can overcome this approach to where we're making decisions based upon the senses. Coming back to Hebrews chapter 12, just a few things here and then we will close. The Hebrew writer says in verse 16, after these other good admonitions and things that a Christian is to do or not do. He says, do not be like this profane or godless person as Esau, who for one mess of meat sold his own birthright. One is actually in the text. Just one. Really? You're going to give all of this up for one little thing? You're going to give up possibly heaven for this one little thing? Really? It's a great text, and it matches so much of what's going on today. The writer uses an interesting word. In verse 16, my version says he was a profane person. Your version might say he was a godless person. This is an interesting word. It's a word that meant someone who shows disrespect for sacred things. And it was used in the first century, this is interesting, to talk about a person who crossed over a threshold and went into a place that he wasn't supposed to be. That's what that word literally means. To cross over the threshold and be in a place that you're not supposed to be. And it was often used for someone who went into a temple that had no authority to be in there. He wasn't a priest, he didn't belong in there, but he crossed over the threshold and went into a place, and so it became known for someone who did something that was unlawful or improper. It's translated profane or godless. The improper or unlawful entrance into a holy place. In other words, you don't care, you just go do it. You just walk in there, I don't care if I'm supposed to be in here or not, I'm going to go in. And then it became known, used for outside that literal crossing over a threshold to mean someone who is empty and godless and doesn't show regard for important things. And brethren, we've got to learn that lesson. One version says, here in Hebrews 12, I like what it says. It says, he was, quote, indifferent to the loss of rights he had thrown away. Now that's a modern paraphrase, it's not literal, but it really gets to a great point. He was indifferent to the loss of rights he had thrown away. When we're baptized into Christ, brethren, we're so privileged. We have answered prayer. We have forgiveness of sins. We're on track to go to heaven, to be with God around His throne for all eternity. Do we really want to be indifferent to the loss of rights that we have thrown away? We don't want that. One version says, Esau cared little for his birthright. You see, brethren, the devil wants us to throw away our spiritual birthright. In the same chapter, if you'll turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12, if you'll come on down where the Hebrew writer talks about all the blessings that Christians have, look at one of them that is mentioned in verse 23. You have come to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, literally, of the firstborn ones. That's not Jesus. Other places in the New Testament, Jesus is called the firstborn. This is speaking to brethren. This is Christians. When we're baptized into Christ, we are the firstborn ones. It's a privileged relationship that we have in Christ. You don't want to toss that away. And I find it interesting that that verse is in the same chapter talking about Esau, who was firstborn and threw away his birthright. The devil wants you to throw away your birthright. You're the firstborn one. And you're in the church, the assembly of the firstborn ones, and he's wanting you to throw away your birthright. And the way he gets you to do it is the same way that Esau threw away his. All based upon the here and now and what I feel and the short term and make me feel good. Don't do it. You can overcome the sensual life. You can overcome being controlled and dictated by the here and now and the instant gratification. You can overcome that and not ever make decisions based upon those kinds of things. And always make decisions based upon what God would have you to do. Don't sell out your spiritual birthright for just one, and then fill in the blank, whatever it is. Whatever it is. For Esau, it was one meal. For you and I, it might be one, whatever, fill in the blank. Don't do it. Don't do it. And it's different for different people. Some, it might be some sexual situation. For some, it's money. For some, it's food. For some, it's power. For some, it's anger. Whatever the blank is, don't sell it out for just one, you know, fill in the blank. Don't do it. And when you live that way, and when I live that way, we maintain our spiritual birthright, which is such a great privilege. And we're going to think about that privilege each and every day. We're not going to be thinking about personal satisfaction. We're thinking about our privileged state, and we hold on to it all the way until the time we face God in judgment. What a great lesson. The Hebrew writer says, don't be like this man Esau. And we've learned today how not to go down that same road. We're going to stand and sing a song of encouragement. Jesus paid it all. He did his part, but you and I need to come and do our part. And there may be someone here this morning that needs to be baptized into Christ, or a child of God that needs to come back in some way. And again, we can apply the lesson right now. We're not going to go on what we feel right now. We're going to go on what God wants me to do. And He wants us to obey the gospel. And if we can help you to do that, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?